Welcome, everybody, to episode 307 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 7th, 2017. Look at all those sevens.
There's a lot of sevens.
I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Jay Tripp, who is back in the good old-fashioned state of Wisconsin.
Good old-fashioned. Wisconsin's known for its old fashions. I could go on and on about them.
Every time I think of Wisconsin, I think of Kenosha.
Why?
And that, I don't know, from the Weezer video.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Looks like Buddy Holly, I believe it is.
That's exactly right. From like your Windows 95 CD that you had
that had that on it. And they actually do it from, it looks like they're doing it from within the set of Happy Days.
That's right.
It's all cool.
And anyway, you finally got a new computer that's no longer running Windows 95, so congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much. Got an awesome show for you guys this week. Well, I'm working on getting some people on to talk about, you know, we had this great conversation last week about AMP and sort of what's been going on, some of the discussions. And we had Alberto Medina, who is one of the developers of AMP on the AMP project for Google. And Weston Reuter reached out to us and said, hey, you know, we heard the episode and we'd love to come in and talk about the work we're doing and maybe share our perspectives of what we're doing with AMP and what we like to see happen because of AMP. And I'm working with those two to try and set up a date. And if we're lucky, possibly by the end of this month, we'll get them both on the show and we'll really get to dive deep into AMP and have some great conversations about that. And actually we did get some feedback from some of our listeners that said they really enjoyed that discussion, particularly on AMP. And one of the things that was brought up, and maybe I'll share this with you and get your thoughts on this, is you know, we talked a lot about open web and Google and AMP is sort of like, or is Google's take on what they believe the mobile web should be or what the experience should be for people on mobile. But, you know, what if, and a lot of people have seen this as a bad thing, but what if at the end of the day we get a much better experience on mobile by default, or it just an AMP sort of propels that and we end up with a much better open web without AMP, but we got there because of AMP.
Right. And that may very well happen. We like to use old school America Online for comparisons about things. And so this is kind of in my imagination, one of those times where they weren't the first chat room, but you know that we had IRC and listserv and other ways to communicate before AOL chat rooms. AOL chat rooms were weren't good, but they did introduce a different style of communication through a mono platform, through America Online only. And what happens is, we take what we like about it and we break it apart. And then we come up with Yahoo Instant Messenger, AOL Instant Messenger, BlackBerry Messenger. And then we bring it all back together and we integrate it. And then we tear it all back apart and then we bring it all back together. And,
you know, you mentioned America Online.
Over time, I think it does work out the way you're talking about.
I remember back in the day, America Online, I had this notion that the internet was America Online.
A lot of people.
You had to do keyword this and keyword that. And then when I discovered that, you could just go to a search engine and find all this other stuff outside of the America Online network or the walls. I'm like, whoa. You know, wow.
Yeah. You know, one of these days I will have AOL keyword JJJ, right? Like that would be pretty cool to have. But do keywords even exist anymore? I guess I don't really know.
But
that's what this is a little bit. It's like AMP is kind of Google's own version of the web, no different than Facebook is making their own version of the web. These are platforms. And this is not unusual. Other countries do this. And this means that at some core level that developers and people do want it to be this way. They do think hundreds or thousands or millions of people believe this is the best way to solve this problem right now. And then what will happen is we won't like some direction that Facebook goes or some direction that Google goes. We rebel. We go, no, we don't like this And so let's do our own version of it. People don't like Slack, so they go and they make Mattermost. They make an open source Slack alternative. People don't like movable type or Blogger, and we end up with something like WordPress, right? Like, people don't like one thing, and so you try to solve the problem a different way. And so a lot of effort is going into AMP, and we may think this is the right thing right now, but 5 years from now, we might not like the thing we made anymore, or the web might be a different place. So you're right that these things ebb and flow, and
who knows what will be tomorrow. So Jen, I got a huge announcement for you.
Oh no.
For all the people watching this, pick this up.
Oh no. Oh, look at that. Oh,
see that? I'll try and line this up for you.
That's great.
One of the three most important people.
That's great.
You see this? And by the way, I had some comments on this on Twitter. Because of the intricate pattern on the border, they know it's legit. So I remember we joked about this at some point with, come on. No. Okay. Well, I guess you're one of the three. Who's the third?
It's me. Me, you, and Gutenberg. Okay. All three of us.
Okay, there we go.
And one horse open sleigh.
But this is pretty cool. So Matt actually sent this to me from his home in Houston. So that was awfully nice of him. The tweet and the image, I've gotten a lot of congratulations on Twitter, and I've got about 100 people who like the image. But
you know, everybody knew it, so it's nice to finally have it official, Jeff, I think.
Now I have a document, this paper, I mean, it's legit. So, and I'm going to get it nice and framed, since I'm one of the most important people in WordPress. I'm going to get it in one of the most important frames I can find and put it in an important place on the wall.
So I framed mine too, cause I thought it was really funny. And then the hook that I hung it on broke off the wall. and then when it broke, I could probably spin the camera, but it fell on a bunch of Lego, and then it broke all the Lego all over my office floor. And so it was being one of the three most important people in WordPress is burdensome. You know, it breaks frames, it breaks glass, it breaks Lego. It's a lot of responsibility.
And by the way, I'm jokingly saying, I mean, this whole thing was kind of a pun, a joke on some history of WordPress where it involved Chris Pearson, and I believe he was referencing about Matt or Mark Jaquith, about an Andrew Nason or some other people being three of the most important people in WordPress. And Matt sort of tongue-in-cheek created this document and sent it out to a couple of people, saying, hey, congratulations, you're one of the three most important people in WordPress. And I missed out on getting a template or a document at that time. Thankfully, I am no longer out of the club. You know, so many years later, I've now joined this elite club.
You were always one of the three most important people in WordPress, Jeff. But it makes me wonder, you know, how many copies of these are sitting around? Is there just a warehouse of these somewhere?
I don't know, but I got one.
And, I think Chris and Matt have, like, you know, you had Chris on the show a while ago, and they've since made amends and all of that, right? Is everyone at least
I guess we talked about ago when the U.S. Trademark and Dispute Office threw out maybe not. Case.
Yeah, I guess maybe not. I guess. Oh no, I wasn't Chris. Who was I thinking of? James. James. Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. Well, fake news. I'm totally making stuff up now. It was James.
Yeah,
I'll retract my previous statement.
So this has been a week of releases, big time major releases for quite a few different products out there. We'll start off with your favorite, Gutenberg. Gutenberg 2.3 was released, and this sort of focuses on refining aspects of the user experience. It also introduces an API for extending Gutenberg beyond blocks, allowing plugins to register a full sidebar for their functionalities. Yeah. Plugin developers are going to like that. And there's also been some expansions to template support. So now you can declare nested structures because this version of Gutenberg supports nested blocks. Mm-hmm. So now theme developers will be able to create some pretty cool theme dynamic templates or even nested templates. There's also been some design adjustments and various fine tuning of things related to the UI in terms of blocks and things of that nature. And I actually saw a screenshot in here. They actually support and did some fixes for Windows 10 high contrast mode.
Did you see that too.
Did you see that screenshot? That's an interesting looking interface for Gutenberg.
I haven't seen or tested what WordPress looks like by itself in a long time. So
in high contrast mode?
Yeah.
I should do that. I should turn it on.
That used to be one of the things. You test high contrast mode, right to left, to different translations. It is a part of the lexicon of things you would go through to make sure plugins and things looked and worked the way they were supposed to for everybody.
And so, a small change that is appreciated by at least a few people is in the Gutenberg editor, or they replaced a preview button with a little eyeball. So you click on the eyeball icon and you'd see the preview. And I'm noticing that quite a few people enjoy seeing the preview button instead of that eyeball. So just a small change, but appreciated by quite a few people.
You know, this is a testament, again, to just how quickly Gutenberg is evolving, release over release, and what it looks like when you have an enormous number of individual contributors on any given day through any given release. You know, if each one of the things that are listed on the make.wordpress.org were an issue in GitHub, this is like, you know, 100 issues in a minor kind of release. I mean, not a super major release because they're happening so quickly, but just chugging along and experimenting with things. So this is, again, you kind of have to do a bunch of stuff wrong and try things in order to get it right. So it's another version in the Gutenberg saga of what we're going to end up with in WordPress eventually. So it's cool to see.
And by the way, the HTML block now has syntax highlighting because they added code mirror again back to the library for syntax highlighting. So
the nested blocks thing is a technical achievement because that is infinitely complicated. So it's good to see that started or implemented in a way that's reliable enough to ship, because once you start doing hierarchy like this, it's kind of infinite opportunities and a lot to take on. So cool. It's a good release.
The folks over at Studio Press have released Genesis 2.6. That is their framework. They've added all the settings that were present in the theme and SEO settings page are now available in the customizer. Genesis now fully supports the WordPress generated title tag. There's AdSense auto ads built into the framework. And there's also been a lot of work on including some tooling so that you could do perform integration system and unit test. And there's also some checks now for compliance with WordPress coding standards. There's also a couple other things in here, but Genesis keeps pumping out some great changes over there for their framework.
Yep. I mean, we just had Brian on the show, like, January? So it wasn't even really that long ago. But again, they just keep cranking out newer and better things. And Nathan Rice, hello, right? Nathan's awesome. So excellent job, everybody. Keep it up.
Speaking of new and fresh, Yoast SEO 7.0 is available for everybody out there. And they actually put a lot of effort and focus into this release. They've streamlined the appearance. They've actually removed quite a few items, deprecated functions. So there's increased performance. They've simplified some of the wording now. So instead of seeing SEO related terms like meta and titles, they've replaced it with more common sense terminology. So you actually know upfront what those settings do. They've actually have a new logo now. So the new logo kind of ties in with what else they're doing. Now I did read that there's been some bugs and issues discovered in 7.0. I believe they've already released a 7.0.1 to address those. So if you haven't upgraded Yoast SEO yet, definitely want to upgrade to 7.0.1 so you don't have to worry about those.
Mm-hmm.
And, Congrats to the Yoast SEO team for it was pretty cool. They tweeted out a screenshot of everybody in the office. You know, it was go time. Yeah. They were cranking away, and everybody was going to be just like all hands on deck for a major release.
Yep.
So congrats to them.
It's the same thing. Same thing with EDD folks. It's the same thing when WordPress.com would do the big merge. It's great to have people around and on deck for the inevitable something that didn't go the way it was supposed to.
It should be day.
It is should. Yeah, exactly right. It's interesting to see how unique that the Yoast SEO plugin, like how unique looking it has sort of become. And kind of how they have evolved the way that looks inside of WP Admin over time. So I think bringing the verbiage back down to include a little bit less jargon, I think softening some of the UI elements and buttons to make them, they're going through the same thing where they're going to bring it all back and kind of normalize it again. And, so it's neat to see them coming.
And on top of all that, the Yoast team is on top of making, you know, Yoast SEO probably is going to be one of the first major plugins to really tackle Gutenberg support, be Gutenberg compatible right when Gutenberg is released. So,
and it's an interesting plugin to need Gutenberg support, like because it's not about.
More or less, it's more to do with meta boxes and how they're going to be supported and presented and
exactly
of that nature.
Where I think there are 20,000 other plugins that deal directly with content or short codes or things that have to do directly with post content that could probably benefit from first class Gutenberg support. But don't have the economy or business or ecosystem behind them to help them with it. So it's cool to see the pendulum kind of swing the other way for them. So.
And the folks over at Jetpack have released 5.9, which they consider more of a general maintenance release, based on some feedback they received after the 5.8 release, which introduced the Elasticsearch and lazy loading images. They've made some changes so that when the search widget gets added to the sidebar, the Elastic powered search will automatically be turned on. Mm-hmm. Any active Jetpack search widgets will be moved to the inactive list if you disable the search feature. And they've also added
they added excerpts to the portfolio and testimonial post types because there's no reason not to have excerpts for those. And having them gives theme developers and that extra little bit to put in. I know like the folks at Array Themes use excerpts and support the subtitles plugin. And so not having it there for those two post types kind of felt unnecessarily limiting. So it's a small addition that I think is nice to have.
And images can be ignored by lazy loading images that was introduced in 5.8 if they contain a reserved class name. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And they also made a change to where if you sign out of the WordPress.com toolbar, it no longer logs you out of WordPress.com, which I could see could be rather annoying for some people because if you logged out of the WordPress.com toolbar because maybe you wanted to test some things or see how things look, you'd end up getting logged out of WordPress.com. So they fixed that. And there's also a couple other features and changes as well. Mm-hmm. So you want to update to 5.9 when possible. Go check out the fresh and new. Mm-hmm. So speaking of plugins and Gutenberg compatibility, there's a project being headed by Daniel Bachhuber, and he has created a Gutenberg plugin compatibility database. And this database contains about 5,000 plugins. And according to Bachhuber, these plugins represent about 90% of the total active install count. So you think of the plugin directory, I think it's over 50. It's got to be over 50,000 plugins. So about 4,500 to 5,000 plugins represent more than 90% of the total active install count. Plugins that are plugins are compatible with Gutenberg if they meet the following two requirements. A WordPress user can perform the same functional tasks with Gutenberg active. You know, for instance, if the plugin includes an add media button, it's considered Gutenberg compatible when it has a block registered for the Gutenberg inserter. And B, there are no obvious errors when the WordPress plugin is active alongside Gutenberg. So what people can do, if you're interested in testing these plugins for Gutenberg compatibility, you register an account on the site, a sandbox is created, and a randomly chosen plugin from this list is added, and you just test it and use it with Gutenberg and sort of report your results. And the aim is to see just how compatible these 4,500 plugins are with Gutenberg now, and this will provide data for outreach and which plugins to keep an eye on and which plugins to sort of hammer home on getting them to be compatible. And I've seen some, of course, some feedback on the Tavern comments. Like for example, the first one, nothing like watching an oncoming train wreck. But I like the response. Hey, I remember Y2K, just saying, which I thought was a pretty good response. But so this is a very ambitious project. Something that a lot of developers can I would believe easily contribute to. Do you see this being a successful project, John, or
the Daniel's database?
Yeah,
I mean it's already successful.
Okay,
I think because it is bringing awareness to the fact that people are paying attention to which plugins do or don't support directly or indirectly the kind of the next big thing. Like just checking the BBs, right? BuddyPress doesn't include any editor functionality, and that's exactly why it's compatible with Gutenberg. And that's exactly what the plugin database says. So anecdotally, it seems to be providing the kind of information that you would expect for it to. And it's kind of a neat collaboration to watch someone like WP Sandbox step up to say, let's make this a thing and run some plugins through this and see how it does. And it's kind of the early days of using something like, was it Selenium? Like some other testing framework for what does this look like when you turn it on? Does it do exactly what you expected for it to do? Does the editor actually appear? Is there a JavaScript error or some other conflict? Like you really don't know these things until you click activate and load it all up together. So this database is already doing that. It's getting people talking about it. It's bringing awareness and it's visualizing all of the potential problems or issues that there are. And so
I think it's a good ambitious project that something that needs to happen at a time way before, you know, the merge of Gutenberg happens in WordPress. But then we get comments like, or we could just not force users to use Gutenberg and instead remain on the classic editor if they want to, you know, the one that doesn't potentially break 4,500 plus plugins. I mean, there you go. So, I mean, a great ambitious project. That's part of the whole Gutenberg rollout, and we still get the folks who say, well, why even, you know, if we didn't bother switching to the new editor, we wouldn't have to worry about this in the first place.
There are a million things in WordPress that should break on any given page load or API call or anything else. Like if you register two custom post types with the same ID, what do? If you register two post types with the same menu location, which one wins? There are a lot of things that should go wrong, and they occasionally do. And then those things are fixed either by plugin developers or theme developers or in WordPress core itself. Gutenberg will just be another one or another 100 of those things. And plugin databases like what Daniel's working on, they visualize the problem, they bring awareness, they get everyone together to go, okay, this is broken here, let's address that. And so this project has already succeeded, in my opinion, and it will only continue to do so.
So in 2016, WordFresh, that sounds like it's a distant cousin to CreamFresh.
It's like you want. It's like fresh words delivered to you, like on a weekly basis.
The WordFence, a WordPress security service company, published their findings of a vulnerability they discovered that could have compromised the servers that are used to send out WordPress updates. And that vulnerability turned out to be a complex, obscure thing that really wasn't likely to be taken advantage of. But it did ignite a conversation surrounding the security at api.wordpress.org and what could happen if the servers were compromised and these malicious people were able to send out what looked like updates to WordPress, but really they were malicious files. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this ignited the idea of, well, we need cryptographic signature signing for WordPress plugin core updates. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of discussion and debate that was happening online at the time, about 15 months ago, about this. And Matt actually came out and responded on a post that he published on Medium addressing some of the concerns and things that were being said at the time, and basically said that it's a good idea, it can't hurt, and might help, but mm-hmm. if there are more important security issues in front of it that impact millions of sites in the real world, and it really isn't priority at this time, that prioritizing those issues was above a nice to have defense in depth effort. Mm-hmm. So Eric Mann has launched a secure WordPress updates plugin as part of his new company called Displaced Technologies LLC. And this plugin is DGXPCO, which stands for Digital Guarantees for Explicitly Permitted Core Operations. So that, I don't know, it just sounds cool, I guess. It's very technical. But you can find it on the plugin directory by searching for DGXPCO. And what it does is it integrates with the core updater and requires that any core update must have a valid signature before it can be installed. The signature provides a secondary source of truth that confirms the integrity of the files. And the signatures are created using a ED25519 public and private key pair and libsodium to sign the file's content. So Mann keeps the private key offline. He's published the public key online. And he says that the public key will not change, and if a core update is signed by a different key, it is a red flag and the update should be avoided. And in addition, commits made to the release hashes repository on GitHub are signed with his PGP key to verify that he is the one who added new code. Mm-hmm. Now, he admits that this solution is not foolproof, and he's working towards improving it, and he would like to extend this type of system to themes and plugins. So he's actively seeking feedback, and he hopes that this project provides evidence that something like it could be added to WordPress core. Mm-hmm. And this should not be confused with the project that's going on with WPCLI with the, I believe it's update signing or file verification check, something to that effect. It's similar, but not the same.
Right.
So, John, do you think cryptographic signature signing is something that how high of a priority is it for you in terms of keeping WordPress updates safe?
So it should be higher than it is, but I get Matt's original point of there being other kind of more important things to worry about, because the real world likelihood of this actually being exploited would require a kind of other folly of errors to occur. Now, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago by now, but at one point, and you might remember this, WordPress.org's, wherever the DNS was hosted, like, people around the world were like seeing a different website other than WordPress.org. And it only happened for like an hour. And it was like only HTTPS requests. I don't remember what it was, but there was like a brief period of time where, like, I think I just happened to be working on something. I was like, what is this? And then at that point, everyone was like working and woke up and was like, what happened here. And so it is possible that through no fault of anyone that is responsible for the WordPress project itself, that via DNS servers, via some mix-up at a content delivery network, via a bad actor in the front line of a country that is monitoring and censoring web traffic, where a site like WordPress.org could be intercepted. And in that situation, to protect the integrity of the web and of WordPress's reputation, having proof that updates and requests are coming directly from the authorized, verified, signed source is really, 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 really important. And so that, I think, is the hard part of all of this, is because those circumstances seem so distant or unlikely, that generating urgency around it is really difficult. However, when it does become a problem, it is a really, really hard problem that affects everyone. Does mean it requires a lot of thought. It's like a volcano, right? Like, you can't do anything about the fact that this volcano is there. But when it erupts, everyone is in a lot of trouble. And so you can take precautions yourself. You can move farther away from a volcano. You can build what you think are channels and walls to funnel lava in places and protect whatever it is that you think you're able to protect and mitigate. But you can't stop thinking about the fact that that volcano is always there all the time. And so until we start signing core zips or plugins, until we start doing themes, until we have an example or a system or say an API, but at least something that exists for add-on stores to kind of use for inspiration here, then anyone that is shipping software or is subject to this kind of a problem. So, and no one is likely to fix this problem themselves, because it's not an easy problem to solve until WordPress sets the pace, I think. And so EDD add-ons or WooCommerce add-ons, they're not signing anything any differently than plugins are themselves. So, which is slim to, there's none. I mean, there's nothing. So it's a potentially a big deal. It's just we haven't had that happen, so there's not a lot of urgency within the community to fix it. And tangentially, I think Eric Mann is brilliant anyways, but using DGX PCO is like an acronym that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. And so he instantly just gains like 100% Google juice by using some like random assortment of letters. So if you search the web for this, it's all you're ever going to find anywhere. So it's actually really smart. But to Eric's point, like you said, is right now Eric has a good proof of concept that this is a possibility. This is a way that you can achieve this level of security and safety. But what Eric has also done is now he is taking on the responsibility of being kind of the single source of truth for all of this. And he's choosing to own it. But the day that he doesn't, or if Eric himself or his private key becomes compromised, he has proved that the approach isn't valid in exactly the opposite way that you would want to prove that this is a valid solution to this problem. So it it's tough. Like, what I don't, you could, all you can do and all Eric can do is continue to champion this going forward, because this is not uncommon. Many other package managers do something similar. If you could think of WordPress plugins and themes like packages, and that WordPress is the thing that manages them, this is an obvious direction that things should go. But it's an ecosystem. There's a lot more to consider. So it's cool that Eric is doing this, and I wish that he had more support.
Now, I was trying to think of back to a story of when WordPress.org, there was a fake update going around, and I thought the WordPress team had skipped a version to sort of alleviate the confusion. But what was going on back in
that
the
happened
day,
with BD Press recently.
WordPress 2.6.3 was released, and somehow one way or another, I think hackers got in to the dashboard of so many different sites, and they were pointing the feed or update notices to 2.6.4, and there was no 2.6.4. And right. So the version they were actually updating or downloading contained a Trojan horse, allowing even more backdoors into their site.
Yeah. And that's, we joke
way,
about.
I don't think that was related to api.wordpress.org, but it was of an interesting way of.
That was just regular old cross-site scripting or an unprotected script tag somewhere in WP Admin that someone was able to exploit to run some rogue JavaScript in a place it didn't belong and make things look like they were.
And the domain name was WordPress with one S, Z, dot org. So it looked like it was WordPress.
Yeah.
Dot org. That's a little bit of fishing in there as well.
Word fresh. That's a domain. I accidentally found it when you mentioned it. I was like, I wonder if that's a thing. So WordFresh would have been.
Well, you didn't have to worry about any trademark violations with that domain.
No, no, no. So, you know, what do you think of this? I mean, do you think of...
don't ask like me about security. I mean, I'm so lackadaisical about security. I mean, two-factor this, two-factor that. I've got password management. I'm not the crazy security super conscious type where, I mean, I could... To me personally, I could care less, right. You know, whether updates are signed or not. I have so much faith and trust in the WordPress.org system that,
right.
You know, I'm going to install an update when I have an update notice. So
are you paranoid about food or like, you know, no. Like if no?
No, no food. I mean, no, yeah. Not really.
Because, you know, I'm not
paranoid about a lot of things, except for maybe a few things that we're going to talk about in this next story.
Because it's a lot like, you know, if someone sprinkled something in your food or dropped something in a drink, you know, these are valid concerns. Where if someone intercepts you order a beer, someone grabs that beer that shouldn't grab it, you can end up. It's the same. Is a valid concern that we can prevent that we don't.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not an invalid concern. It's totally valid. I just it's not something me personally.
Right.
I'm striving and yelling at the top of my lungs for Matt to take care of.
I just think the level of like pretend security, and security experts probably go nuts, but like, you know, like it's easier to break a window than pick a lock. So if we cared a more about it, just putting keys on it and locking it down doesn't always make everything 100% fixed and better, which is why I think that a lot of these concerns don't get the attention that they should, is that we sort of settle on the fact that something is good enough for a really long time. And then when something isn't good enough, one of us puts cameras on their house or gets different locks for the doors or whatever, because something bad happened to you. But the rest of the world doesn't do that.
Well, like, if you don't have a good password on your site and you're not locking it down, what the hell good does any of that other stuff matter anyways?
Right. Exactly right.
And I think that's one of the points Matt was sort of raising, is that's more of an issue and leads to more widespread WordPress sites being attacked than any than everything else.
Yep.
So there you go. I want to talk a little bit about this next story. I want to get your take on this because I find this. I want to give you my perspective, and I want you to tell me if I'm paranoid about this stuff. So WordPress is now used on 30% of the top 10 million sites. That's according to W3Techs, which is a survey company that monitors usage of various web technologies. So they're reporting WordPress has used 30% or 60.2% market share of all the websites whose content management systems it knows about. This represents a 0.6% increase since February 1st and 13.1% over the last 7 years. And it's sort of funny because just, you know, 5 or 6 days ago, Matt Mullenweg, co-creator of WordPress, brought attention to the milestone. He tweeted out 29.9%. So everybody is sort of looking at the number. And a few days later, boom, 30%. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where it gets a little controversial, I would say, is that when it comes to market share numbers, W3Techs is the golden goose. It's the source. It's the one that everybody references in the WordPress space and in the media. And if you look at certain articles, they say, or even advertisements, or even just people in general, they would say WordPress now powers 30% of the web. Now, technically, it is used by 30% of the top 10 million sites based on traffic, according to Alexa. That's how they do their sampling and monitor market usage on W3Techs. So the question is, you know, so when I see that, I think of, well, the web is much, much larger than 10 million sites. So I get a little uncomfortable by saying that WordPress powers 30% of the web. But on the flip side, if those top 10 million websites that are very highly trafficked that are monitored by Alexa, if that's the web to you, if those are the only sites that matter, then I could see how this statement makes sense. And in fact, I received a couple of comments to that effect that this is a large enough sample size. These sites are the ones that matter. Therefore, it's accurate to say WordPress powers 30% of the web. What do you think, John?
I think it's as accurate a number as any. It's all we really, truly sort of can count on. There are going to be millions and millions of other websites on the web, but they might be abandoned or otherwise. And do those sites skew the numbers in any reasonable way? There may be 80 million other Joomla sites out there, which I guess is the concern. But my concern is more about just the perpetuality of Word. Like as WordPress gets more popular, WordPress will only get more popular. And so we have seen this happen with automobile makers, with internet service providers, with shopping centers and stores. Amazon gets bigger, Walmart, Target, Ford, Chevy, too big to fail. Honda, Nissan, I don't know, AT&T, Verizon, Time Warner, NBC, ABC, everything gets it. But we naturally kind of bubble things up to the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in any given space. And then there may be a million others that are out there that are trying to fight for scraps. But we don't have enough. We just have other more important crap to do than worry about the number 12 CMS in the world. And so people naturally go, well, this is the thing that works. This is the thing that most people must like. So I'm going to use WordPress too. And I'm afraid that WordPress will eventually be the choice just because it's the choice and not because it's the best anymore. And that is a bigger deal or kind of a more concerning thought to me because aside from our careers and mortgage payments, relying on the success of WordPress, there's I really like the community. There's a lot of smart people involved in it, and the mission is meaningful to me of democratizing publishing. There's just a lot that in the free and open web that WordPress does kind of act as true north for a lot of the web. And
I think Ryan McHugh brought up the monoculture. Monoculture.
Yeah. So that means a couple of different things. And I think he was, maybe not, but you know, it's intentionally coy, because a monoculture can mean a lot of different things. I don't know. People think that because I live in Wisconsin, that all I do is drink beer and eat cheese. And that might be true.
That's what I thought.
Right. But
I mean, the beer part you do, I don't know about the cheese.
A monoculture very quickly becomes a stereotype, because it might be true, but it might not be true. And so you become part of the culture, but other people's perception of what that culture means could be the same or different. And so if WordPress has a perception of being insecure, or has a perception of being
hacked, or has a
reputation
of just being for blogging.
Sure. Then we choose to either accept that and live it, or branch out and try to experiment and do other things. And I think we all do all those things differently on any given week, month, or year. But there's the internal monoculture of we're only working on something for ourselves. And then there's the external monoculture of I really don't want to use WordPress, but I'm going to because it's the thing that has the most momentum or whatever else. There's also the monoculture of leadership or of stagnation, lack of vision. Anyone can look at these things and say that when you have a lack of diversity in decision-making or in contributions or thought leadership or whatever else, that we all just drone on in one direction. It could mean a lot of things. And so the numbers to me are fine. They're not, I'm trying to find the BB Press numbers, because we talked about those before. I think when we hit 29%, we talked about forum market share, and I can't find it now. But the last time that I looked, BB Press was up over 40, I think, percent, just because of WordPress's popularity, not because it's the best, in my opinion. There are more robust, sophisticated pieces of forum software that probably serve somebody's needs more appropriately than BB Press does. I happen to love BB Press a lot, which I think everybody knows, but the market share is impressive and great and amazing, and it is a good indicator of success. But I like looking at happiness, I guess, as a measure of success. Are users happy? Right. Well, are contributors happy? Are developers happy? So on.
So I'll just calm down. I'll just say, hey, WordPress powers 30% of the web. I'm fine. I'm cool with it. I don't want to get involved with technicalities. But here, something that does bother me, and I'll take another pot shot here, because it bothers me, is when I see a headline, an article that says the folks at San Francisco-based Automattic have good reason to celebrate this Monday. Its WordPress content management system now powers 30% of all sites on the web. That bothers me. I know it bothers a lot of other people as well.
I know.
But that's wrong. It's completely inaccurate.
That's
something that really irks me, is when all of WordPress and all of its contributions and all of its successes are tied back to one company, Automattic. That is, I mean, it bothers a lot of people.
I agree. I do agree. But
gets into so many other things, you know, the whole branding argument, and that's not going to change the wording. How do people see WordPress? Mm-hmm. You know, this can even goes back to a tweet and a couple of other tweets where you do a Google search for WordPress, and what do you get? Well, you get an ad, you know, one of the first results of WordPress.com, you know?
That was my accidental finding. Yeah. So how do you think, what do you think we do about that? You know, like, this is WordPress.com and .org really is one of the few places in the world where this is a confusing problem. You don't have this problem with and anything in the real world, your car that you drive, there is no spiritually free and open version of the onboard diagnostic software that runs it.
Well, I would say do some more research, but then I've been involved with this WordPress sync gig for so many years that it's easy for me to say that. But for someone who I just feel like even TechCrunch and the people who work there still make this air when they talk about WordPress things. And maybe it's just for them. Maybe they do a Google search or a quick Google search, and it just to them, everything points to automatic owning WordPress.
Yeah, right.
That's just what they see or how it's perceived or presented. I don't know. Other than more research on the part of the journalist, I don't know. I mean, it is a mess. It is hard to figure out.
Because what if the homepage of WordPress.com and the homepage of WordPress.org both said, are you looking for the other one? But then the problem is that they're both advertising the other. And so you're trying to solve the problem by saying, don't go there, or automatics is this and not that. But you can't solve the problem without bringing awareness, more awareness to that the problem is there. So what, and maybe this is a good question for listeners also, but if, how do we realistically address this problem in on the web, in journalism, on WordPress.org, on our how much more? We can't keep saying the same stuff. I feel like we're all guilty of saying the same thing, that we don't like it, or that, you know.
Yeah, we always point it out on Twitter, but I mean. Yeah.
Because I think if you asked anybody at Automatic, they wouldn't go, yeah, I'm really happy that everyone thinks we built this. No, they don't. They're not happy about it. And nobody really cares. They're not going to care. If somebody attributes you, Jeff, for something that somebody else posted on a different blog, you may jump in to correct them just via journalistic integrity. But if I misremember a conversation that I had with you at WordCamp Boston that you had never been at because I talked with somebody else about it at a different WordCamp, who cares? And so, I mean, it is a problem, but we're hypersensitive to the problem.
That's a bad example, John, because I'm so memorable to you. You remember every word you and I say together. At any event over the years, you remember everything.
Aw, it's nice of you to notice.
Now that I think about it, it is kind of creepy, and I'm starting to reevaluate my friendship with you. But, you know.
That's funny. Yeah, it's good. Point taken.
So 30% of all sites, according to them, and as we saw, when was this? It was posted back
yesterday or today, March 7th.
That's back 2015.
Oh, that old one.
When Matt Malloy was interviewed at Pressnomics, he had mentioned something how Jetpack was going to be important for them to reach 50% market share, and so we're at 30%. We got another 20% to go. And by the way, something we didn't mention is that according to W3 Techs, 50% of the sites that they track have no CMS that they know of. So they're not even using any. So it could be just static HTML or something else. But there's still a lot of sites out there that moved, that are not using the CMS. And granted, a CMS maybe is not the end-all be-all. In fact, in recent years, there's been an increase in popularity for static site generators.
And I don't remember. I don't know if I take the generator tag out. I mean, I probably set a filter on the generator tag a long time ago.
Don't want anyone to know you're using WordPress, eh?
Right. That's exactly what it is.
You want to make your site more secure, eh? All right, I should stop saying eh, because that's probably very offensive to somebody out there. Congrats to WordPress.
I'm in Wisconsin.
As we march on towards higher and higher numbers. So, I'll just ask you this. What if we get to a point where, okay, we're at 30% now, But what if, say, within the next year or so, it goes down 29.5, down to 20?
That's another thing.
Do we start saying, oh, my God, it's over? Now WordPress is going down the tubes? Do we start freaking out? Numbers start going down?
Right. That, I think, is the other side to this. Is it's all speculative anyways. And so what difference does it make when the number does inevitably start going backwards? Do we cake our pants and go, oh, what are we doing wrong? This thing is the reason, this one thing we did.
No!
Right! And that's kind of, we are making that promise to ourselves that the number will eventually top out, and when it does, that it will be our fault. But here's my I'm happy that you kept talking about this, because I saw a tweet that quoted Jeff Bezos, and I'm gonna butcher it and paraphrase it, and it was something to the effect of that when people ask Jeff what's going to be new in 10 years, that he thinks the more important question is what's going to be the same in 10 years. And that is what keeps people historically relevant and profitable and everything. And so Amazon focuses on, people are always going to want lower prices. People are never going to ask for higher prices. So they're going to try to provide the lowest price that they can. People are always going to want the convenience of having something delivered directly to their homes. So they're going to continue doubling down and focusing their efforts on those things. And so,
yeah, because people, no one's always ever going to say, I want higher prices, or exactly, I want you to take more time to deliver my product.
And so people are always going to want to write. They're going to want to publish things. It may not be on the web all the time, but it is. People are going to want to write. And so having WordPress be the best version of the way to write in an editor is really the most important thing. And so if WordPress's mission is to democratize publishing, it means we are going to want to have the most robust, sophisticated, developer-friendly, powerful editor that we can afford to have, given the enormous amount of open source volunteer contributions that we can. And if people are always going to want to write, then we have a responsibility to make sure that no matter what happens in the next 10 years, that they can always push publish using the nicest editor that they can. And the thing that might reduce WordPress's market share will not be a WordPress competitor, I guess. I don't think. It will be that fewer people are using the web, or that fewer people are communicating via the web. More people will be using VR. More people will be using applications in their phones, or communicating via Facebook Messenger, or whatever. It will be that people are communicating differently, but not that people have stopped communicating at all. And so when the number goes down, I don't think that it will be because of WordPress. It will be because there are 11 billion people on the planet, and there are fewer people that in general overall are writing long form or owning their own content. They feel locked into an ecosystem. So when the number goes down, my opinion will probably always be that it is inevitable that it goes down, and it will be okay. And it will only be because there are other things that have come along that have nothing to do with the web as we know it, or publishing anyways.
When the numbers go down, I'm gonna push a tweet out that says, "Turn out the lights, the party's over."
Yes. Like one click, like it'll just go down a tenth of a percent.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
all right. So let's wrap up the show here. I do have a pick this week. It is a video, and it is a presentation by Mel Choice at LoopConf, where she presents on customizing the future. So she takes a look at the past, present, and future of the customizer and how it could look when it's integrated with Gutenberg. So actually a fun fact that I learned from her presentation was that the customizer, what was known as the theme customizer at the time, was added to WordPress 3.4 Green, which was all the way back in June of 2012. So the customizer has been with us for five to six years now, which is a long time. You know, time flies. Yeah. And near the 23-minute mark of her presentation, that's where things really start to get interesting because she shows some concept images of what the customizer slash Gutenberg interface looked like and doing live previews of blocks and dynamic templates and page templates and how all these things could work. And they're conceptual images, so the ideas will likely change over time, but it's that LoopConf of audience was one of the first sets of people to actually see these images and things in action. So if you want to get a glimpse of what the customizer could look like in a post-Gutenberg world, definitely check out her presentation at LoopConf, which we have linked to on the WP Taver website.
That was her presentation was super awesome. That was there were a lot of those conceptual I remember sitting down with her and Ben Dunkel. I forget what WordCamp it was. Somewhere, or maybe the Contributor Summit. And Mel had a lot of prototypes for resizing, dragging, dropping, moving stuff around that were all in different, you know, forks and branches and testing stuff out. And her talk showing off the original concepts from back then reminded me a lot of Daryl Coopersmith's Elastic theme. Do you remember that from the old school long time ago days? This was like the original WordPress theme that kind of blew people's minds a little bit with dragging and dropping columns and the header and just like resizing things within WP Admin. 2009 is when that happened. Was the there's a talk on WordPress.tv, Elastic, Your Theme's Future, WYSIWYG Editor, that Mel's talk reminded me of Coops from a long time ago. Mel's talk was super good. LoopConf this year was amazing, and I missed it this year, so. My pick of the week is also from LoopConf. I am selfishly picking Felix Arndt's Global Admin talk, a deeper dive into multi-network organization. And so I try to stick around WordPress multi-site and contribute there whenever I can. And so Felix gave a talk on what multiple WordPress networks looks like, or the hidden feature inside of WordPress multi-site that comes with everybody's WordPress to allow for there to be groups of sites. And it wasn't just a technical talk, although there was some technical stuff in it. He really tried to focus on like why would you need to group sites together? And then if that is a thing you need, what does a conceptual global administration look like, or an install-wide admin area that WordPress does not currently have? And so some other folks, like Washington State University and others, have huge multi-site, multi-network WordPress installations. And so it's a small niche subset, but it was a really interesting and super good talk. And so that's my shout out to Felix and my pick of the week also.
And by the way, congrats to Brian for putting LoopConf together and his volunteers out in Salt Lake City. And you can view all of the sessions from LoopConf for free via their YouTube channel, which we have linked to from wtavern.com. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find the show notes for this episode and every other episode on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0, where you can learn about things sometimes related to my personal health.
I don't really want to know anything about that. No offense. You know, we'll keep that.
I didn't really want to know anything about that, even though I already know everything about that. Yeah, you already know everything about
that. I wish I didn't know anything about that.
So how can
you can find me at AOL keyword JJJ.
Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, let me just whip out my AOL coaster and I'll get right on that.
Oh, your install disk with the
the free coaster. Which, man, those are the days where you could find those at gas stations and cereal boxes and
landfills and on the side of the road. And what are these things you've got to talk about AOL?
I read a very interesting article. Somebody had a collection of all the AOL install discs.
Yeah.
Because they had all kinds of different designs and all the discs. And
they sure did.
Everything.
Okay, you know, for us in America, we had, I guess it was Steve Case, right, that recorded the original You've Got Mail, like Wave. Remember that?
Yeah.
So over on the other side, in the UK, there said You've Got Post. They had a woman record. There's a whole different wave that they had that played that said You've Got Post. And I can go on and on about AOL. I spent a lot of time. That was how I learned how to code, was with AOL. So one of these days we need to do like a throwback AOL. A
throwback episode. Get some technology guys on here. Talk about AOL. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Everybody enjoy your rest of the day, rest of the week. Enjoy your holiday. Well, no, not holiday. I guess every weekend's a holiday. So enjoy your week. We'll be back next week for even more WordPress goodness. Take care. So long, everybody. Say bye, John.
Bye, Jeff. I hope you feel better.